Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense. Ooh.
With Ayanda Nyati.
Yeah, so today we're dealing with something we've been dealing with this for decades. I think it's gotten worse now that we have social media. Mm. Not our kids being bullied at school, at their homes. Now they're being bullied even on social media. So yeah, today we're going to try and make sense with Ayanda. School bullying, what happens after the outrage? You know, my concern about bullying also is that I think another way, the best way to also try and deal with it is that encourage kids that once they get bullied, they should not be embarrassed, they should not be shy, they should not be intimidated, so that us as adults can deal with the problem. Because, I mean, you find kids who've been bullied for 4 or 5 years, and suddenly your child tells you, you know, this person was bullying me for the past 5 years. And you're like, but why didn't you tell me? Mm. No, I was embarrassed that they would laugh at me, they would say I'm soft, I'm this, and then. I think if we can give kids the courage
to report
immediately when there's bullying.
Remember. Last year, Vukvulikolo, and I said my son, there's a group of 5 boys that are trying to bully my son, and I'm gonna handle it my way. I did, because my son told me, Baba, I have a problem. These boys, Bafundi Metric, and they're trying to be, but some soften up and don't.
Yeah.
Before it got
worse,
I will handle it, me.
Sure. And what does that look like?
It looks like me handling it.
It's sunny. There are no clouds.
All right.
Yes,
well, clear skies.
Yes.
All right.
Summer.
Fair enough. Yeah. You know, I come across pretty gory stuff in the line of work we do in the news, but videos I cannot stand of children beating each other up. And you're right. It's become such commonplace on the timeline. Most recently, the Milnerton incident comes to mind. We know that those pupils have been placed on suspension, but there's also been several others since then. So we decided to call upon the education department today to just get a sense of what happens after these incidents hog onto the headlines. There's outrage, and of course, you know, there's some kind of statement from the school itself. Terence Kyler is a spokesperson for the department and joins us now via our telephone line. Terence, good afternoon. Welcome to Drive 959.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and good afternoon.
Yeah, is it also your sense that these incidents are becoming more commonplace, or is it just social media, I think, that's kind of putting a spotlight on them in a way that I think hasn't happened before?
Look, I think what's important to do first and foremost is just to express our deepest concern and express the compassion that we have for every learner and family that's affected, not only in this case, but in instances of bullying across the board. So what we have picked up is that we've been very aggressive as a department and proactive in terms of making sure that, particularly through lessons like LO, we teach bullying and we encourage our young people to be able to identify what bullying looks like and what victimization looks like, so that we can be able to then align forward and report. I think what's important is what you've mentioned in your prelude, is that reporting is the first step, and that's the first key. And that's why we believe we've also seen an uptick in the instances of bullying. Yes, social media has presented an even wider challenge because of the element of young people now documenting these instances. But that has also then given us an opportunity to be able to bring in other partners that we can work with to be able to then guide our young people on how best to be able to deal with these, but also then to encourage them not to be the ones that share these things and to be the purveyors of this unnecessary and really, really careless act.
You're talking about an aggressive program in schools where kids are taught about bullying and how to actually be able to pin out when they're being bullied. But I've been at the receiving end of my nephew being bullied, and I did not get that sense at all. I didn't get the sense that the Department of Education is proactive in preventing bullying. I find a more reactive response. Well, I suppose reaction is a response. But I find a more responsive approach as opposed to putting things in place that will deter even the guy koskolong who thinks, "Hore, I am the king of the school."
No, certainly. I mean, I think it's certainly something that we continue to work with quite aggressively, as I've mentioned. I mean, obviously, across different provinces where we do have our hotspots and what we call our red zones. we have obviously targeted a lot of our interventions predominantly there because of the instances that have been so prevalent there. But I think what's important to point out is that our prevention is focused, as I've mentioned, on prevention rather than cure, and making sure that we really empower our school systems. So what we do have is our anti-bullying campaign that we've continued to run since 2016. What you're looking at as well is the various partnerships that the department has also created, because we understand that bullying doesn't only take place in a physical sense. There's also a large element of online bullying, as well as social media elements of learners harassing each other. So we've partnered with partners like Google. We've partnered with the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies. We have ongoing partnerships with Media Monitoring Africa, as well as the Film and Publication Board. And what this allows us to do is to permeate our messaging through different platforms that even we as the department are not necessarily touching, but platform, and through this partnership, we're then able to expand our touch points and point within the school environment. We are the ones leading that conversation, but also online. As learners leave the school environment, and as they touch with social media, and as they interact with movies and other media, they are actually able to then receive messaging that is actually towards making sure that we strengthen them as well.
Sure, Terence, Angel, the anti-bullying campaign that you're talking about, where are you guys doing it? And you're saying since 2016, I'm like, I've never heard about it. This is the first time me in Uskumba knowing that there's an anti-bullying campaign that the Department of Education is doing. And you say you guys are doing
I disagree.
We can have this conversation the whole day. I disagree. You guys are not being aggressive enough. That's why these kids are doing what they're doing. That's why I don't know if my son has ever came back to school and say today there was an anti-bullying campaign.
Yeah, I've never heard.
Which schools maybe do you guys do it in?
No, indeed. As mentioned, we've focused quite largely on the element of us targeting our red zones. So our red zones are mostly in KZN. Our red zones are in the Western Cape as well as in the Eastern Cape. So this is where we've seen the largest amounts of these incidences taking place. So we have been to areas like Mpanzane. We've been to areas like Mlazi in KZN. We have also been to areas within the Western Cape on the Cape Flats. So perhaps maybe what we need to do is take a wider whole of government approach and a whole of community approach, because what's important for us is that bullying and violence is not something that is taught within the curriculum or within the preview of our schools. Schools, again, we have to say, schools are microcosms of the environments within which they are. So when we look at those red zones are predominantly in areas where violence is already prevalent. So what we're seeing is these cultures migrating into our schools, and then that obviously becoming part of the social fabric and ingraining itself within the school. So what we need to do is, as mentioned, we deal through our anti-bullying campaign is a whole of government approach and a whole of society approach. So we have the religious sector, we have our partnerships with SAPS, but you also then call on community leaders within those spaces. So if you look at what we've done in the Eastern Cape, is bring in the religious sector, but also bring in the cultural sector, and make sure that our kings, our queens within those areas are playing part of this conversation, because it's only once we can get the whole of society to be able to rally behind us with this call that we can continue to make sure that this permeates and it can find expression even in conversations that you have on platforms like this. So, I mean, for us, it's to really continue the conversation. We'll never desist from that, because what's important is for us to take each and every school community into our confidence and make sure that the interventions that we're making are finding traction on the ground. So, yes, we can admit that perhaps maybe there hasn't been as large a penetration as we would love, because then that would result in no incident of violence at school. But then again, we need to take a step back and look at how our communities are constructed and how our communities are taking up this conversation in a proactive manner, supporting the department, but also making sure that that societal issue that is education is always at the forefront of every conversation that we have.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you that all stakeholders need to play a role, whether community or religious. I agree with all of that. But I'm wondering if you guys even have a list of some sort. I can appreciate that there's red zones where this thing is more prevalent, bullying is more prevalent, and you concentrate on that. But do you guys even have a list when there's a bullying incident that is recorded by a school? Is there some form of process that the school has to offer?
Consequence management.
Absolutely, where you know that Khumutsomi so bullied Skomba, and you are now looking and checking on that kid, because when the bullying incident of my nephew happened, they said they cannot actually expel the kid because expelling is not a way that the Department of Education works. So they suspend the kid, but there's not real remedial or rehabilitation things that happen with this child who is coming with knives at school. So I'm trying to understand, and we're going back to your aggressive, I'm trying to understand what kind of process do we then follow once the bullying has happened, and what is the school compelled to do, and what are you compelled to do as the Department of Education?
No, indeed. What we're compelled to do basically from a basic education space is to make sure that the policies exist and the frameworks exist within which schools can be able to react and to take positive preemptive action to these kind of actions. So what we're looking at is there's two sides to this. There's the victim and there's the perpetrator. But for us, obviously, it's important as the basic education sector that we don't miss or lose out on either of the two. So there's obviously, with regards to the victims, we do have both school-based as well as district-based support teams. These come in with the psychosocial element of supporting the victim, making sure that the victim can firstly find guidance and support at a school level. But secondly, where the issue does then become larger or too big for the school, we can then draw on the support of the district. The district is also in touch then with our sister departments, such as social development, who then can assist us in bringing forward the adequate mechanisms that can assist us to support the kids. These include elements of psychologists that are on the books of the Department of Social Development, and they assist us through the ongoing partnerships that we have with this, the social sector cluster under which we work. But also you need to remember that the victim themselves could also be a victim in their own right. So the idea and the departure point is for us not to lose this child and look at them as a violent perpetrator and then leave them to the world. They also then benefit from the same psychosocial support, because we could be dealing with an underlying issue of a child that could be abused, a child that could be going through violent
issues. Yeah. Sorry, Terrence, let me come in there. I do appreciate you want to, you know, go through the nuances, but I'm looking at the time. Very quickly, if you know, the Western Cape is one of the red zones, why did it take the minister so long to release a statement on what happened at Milnerton High?
No, indeed, we do acknowledge. What we had looked at was the aspect of the province also taking a very proactive look into it. What we had seen is that on the same day that the incident surfaced, the province did take a step forward. And what we do understand is, as I've mentioned, that we need to create the policies that allow schools and provinces to be able to react. Because at the end of the day, the school is under the custodianship of the province, and the province is the one that is at the best position to be able to react, because they do have their own school safety programs that they have at a provincial level. The Western Cape has continuously been struck with gang violence and issues of perpetual violence in school. So we needed to allow those mechanisms to also take shape. But it's important that also the minister has also added her voice to this, because what is important to note is that the minister stands very firm in supporting the Western Cape.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. I suppose it's up to the public to kind of get us a sense of whether or not there's a vote of confidence in the responses and the interventions.
Do you know
the
what
department.
We need to do? Let's do this for our spokesperson. The voice notes that are going to come now, we package them and we send it to, because I feel like there's that same thing that we always complain about with our leaders, and out of touch of reality. I think that he has not been at a school. The Department of Education is not in schools enough. I have had conversation with Steve Mabona, but there is really a detachment of the reality of what's happening on the ground, as opposed to a nicely worded statement worded response.
Far from being convinced by what Terrence was saying. Far. Like whatever that Terrence came on radio and said today, that the department is hands-on. They are not hands-on.
Never.
They are not hands-on by far, food.
They are not proactive. They are reactive.
They are very reactive.
Always wait for someone to be injured or something horrible happens, and then we have a press conference.
And then Terrence says we are aggressively...
No, thanks, Ayanda.
All right.
Terrence are angry. The amount of voice notes that we are getting in response to Terrence, what are we going to do? We will forward all the voice notes, parents. You guys heard what the Department of Education is saying. They're saying, unama anti-bullying campaigns that are happening there, they're dealing with this thing aggressively. But at the same time, when as a parent you have a bully in your house, how are you dealing with your own bully? That goes to school every day.
And you are well aware that your child is a bully.
How are you dealing with the bully that is your child going to school every day.
Because you're quite right, we can't relinquish all responsibility to the department and the school. Because if we're now, you can't expect anybody else
and
to
we
be
know
able to handle.
You know, Mtaraki Pool, because we round up and who is boss?
Now about 2000.
Oh, the ones that you said, why but Swadi Babang Nebasari, stay there.
Yeah. That's not 2000.
How
that's
are you
budget.
Dealing?
Shala lapo.
How are you dealing
you
with your own bully? You have a bully at home, the bully goes to school, there's complaints about your kid bullying other kids at school. As when a parent, how are you dealing with that?
And I think once kids can come out and tell their parents or their teachers that they're being bullied, we can actually see these numbers going down.
Yeah.
So with this thing you're bullying, you know, I think those children think there's no repercussions for their actions, hence they will continue doing what they are doing. I mean, it's not like they don't know because are wrong and filming it as well is wrong. So in my opinion, as much as there is a sex offenders list, there should also be a bully offenders list.
Absolutely.
If that even makes sense. They should know for each and every action, there's going to be a reaction and there's going to be repercussions for it. And if you decide to bully somebody and film it, umdala, you know what you're doing. So therefore, that should be a stain. Because wherever you go, this cloud should always hang on you, upon you. Because you once did this, and these were the repercussions of your actions.
Hey, afternoon, guys. I am Chua Kuncho Askabuama Kare. Hey, whenever proactive and whatnot. I had to step in and pull up my sleeves to sort this bullying thing out for my daughter. So he's lying. They're so reactive. Even the schools are so reactive and do nothing. Like they do the bare minimum to solve this bullying thing.
Anti-bullying campaigns. Government schools, listen to Zico. These things may be in the schools that they send their kids to. Those things maybe exist. You see, this is the problem we have in South Africa. The gap of inequality is so big and so huge that you can easily spot the differences between two schools. In private schools, yes, there are bullying, but the repercussions and accountability is harsher than government schools. Government schools, you think they've got time to take care of bullying when there's not even enough tables for the kids to sit and study? There's not enough textbooks. You think man is cut so cutty bullying, and then someone comes to the radio and comes here and lies to us.
Why is it that school bullies, they are never jailed? They should be held accountable. They should go to jail.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. You were saying, Khomuso?
You know that list of Wangayon? I think it's part of the questions that we asked Terrence. Hore, what do you guys do after a bullying incident has occurred?
That was the first question.
Because if there are no real steps taken, then there's a problem with accountability from the school. Because also some incidents is we warned KG 5 times. But there has to be a mark that we tell you once. The second time, if we tell you, you are suspended. If we have to tell you the third time, you are expelled.
Yellow card, red card.
So, Bona, they don't do that. You know, they don't do... That's what's missing in the school, that there are no real repercussions for bullying.
But what I found interesting was that he was talking about them doing a roadshow, this aggressive way that he used in other provinces except for Gauteng.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for me.
Where is he based?
Which is crazy for me. First of all, Terrence, you called a Gauteng-based radio station. And you're saying your red flags or your
red zones.
Red zones are in KZN. And you say that proudly. Do you know what's happening in Lokshine Kolwen? Do they have an idea what is happening in the schools where our kids go to? Utkhomotso, you went to school nini because your son had a problem in the school. Lesa skolo bayakwazi ukuthi umamiso akasithengi skelem. Why faneka kuze kube wena when there's an anti-bullying campaign that is happening? That means there's someone here heading that department, the anti-bullying. That means there's someone that has a list of kids that are bullying each other like school.
Yeah, and they're sitting on it. Skomba, now my thing is the provincial department talking to the national department, because that's where he comes from. He's the Department of Basic Education. Are they actually talking to each other?
No, they're not.
So that they're able to see that, okay.
Yes, they can.
Go Gauteng, problem erna linyona ki. Go KZN, problem erna linyona ki. There's just a lot of nice policies that we have in South Africa
on paper.
Never see.
We can say now to the parents, if your kid has been ever been bullied at school in the past 2 years, send us a voice note. We just try to see of it because of the amount of bullying that is happening.
And no action is being taken.
And yes, what was the follow up after
there's
that?
There's no action. I'm an.
Yes, guys, listening to this guy, Akulumange, this campaign, anti bullying, I'm thinking government is such a serious. Government is going to see Safana and Aboko Kovich, Laba, Ababa Chelis, and then they believe it. Tina, we need to see action. I've never seen an anti bullying rally or anything, or my child come back from school. It's called also on a cost on a banner as a bopeke party. If someone is being bullied, they go and report, or if they see them, then they take action because that's the only thing I know. Which is calling Namdana Mafunda Kona, they do have a peke party and then Nila Poba figure Kona, but Tilana Lentama police. But from the government side, Angaz and Bon and Nix,
so
in Jemabe, who's Lalang Atilaba, Bapume in Twin.
So we do have a call from a mother whose son was bullied at St. Stephen's College. You know, I can't even say this school. Good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for your call.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi.
You know, we actually get, you know, the frustration and, you know, all the negative things that come with bullying, especially when you seek help and your son is desperate and you are desperate and you don't get any help. How far are you as far as this bullying is concerned?
Is it a daughter?
Yeah, it's a daughter. Yeah.
Okay,
thank you very much for all the support that we've received throughout this process that came out last week on Monday with the doctor's verdict on what had happened to Faith and with the previous verdict of 4 days prior with the assault physically by a classmate in ballet class. We appreciate the support, and I think it would be important to note that the South African Police Services have been of uttermost importance to us in support in indicating that there's no criminal liability for kids under the age of 12, but they'd like to assist us with social development. And at the same time, I congratulate social development, who's kept up to date with us to say, are the other parents willing to sit down around the table? Those are the parties I may mention. I will also thank the Department of Basic Education, who have stepped in and said there's no tolerance to bullying in any school, in any form, shape, or manner. So for all of those, I'm grateful. Your question is asking, where are we at now? Where we at now, we are being refused the minutes of the meeting held last week with the school. And we've been refused that on 2 occasions. That's where we are at. Our daughter is due tomorrow for her ballet last rehearsal before the big show this weekend, which is before an international panel. And the boy who assaulted at ballet, the school has confirmed, will also be there.
Oh,
and they're asking us to wait until we hear tomorrow of the sanctions. But I'm asking them, if he's going to be there at ballet, am I sending the child back to the perpetrator? She is still at home right now. She was seen today by a special ENT. The doctor's documents who first consulted with her are there before the school. The school today issued a statement, which was obviously a statement that was very ambiguous about the fact that they've received alert to the media around this. And their response is obviously on record. From the starting point, I complimented the school that our child grew leaps and bounds in terms of mathematics, reading skills, and cognitive skills. And I said, let's address this as a St. Stephen's family. That has obviously fallen on deaf ears and not been heard. Instead, got it by letters on their own letterhead, which are legally drafted. And we've refused to go and engage attorneys. And the reason to them advanced, we will not spend our resources on school fees and you're going to pay it to your lawyers. And we spend our money on our own lawyers. This is about a mitigation of what we do in the best interest of all our children. We have re-emphasized it's not in the interest of just our daughter. It's in the interest at large. Hmm. Today, an email has emerged from one of the class moms as an apology to us as a family that her daughter has mentioned the bullying that our daughter has been going through and she regrets that she did not come forward.
Sure, that's a voice of a very, very frustrated, torn mother, and my heart really bleeds for you. And I really do hope that before the ballet showdown, there would be a favorable outcome for you as a parent, and there will be serious intervention from St. Stephen's.
But are people just insensitive, or is it because it's not happening to your child?
It's whose child it's happening to. It's not about... It's whose child it's happening to.
And how...
bully go skolong, guys. We go to Facebook, we read stories telling hore di botlhoko ngwana tlhabiwe ke bully. A tlhokafala. Ngwana o a tswele pele ka education ya gae a ye sekolong. That is a criminal. What is that child still doing go skolong? Where's am go skolong ngwana o? No man, something needs to be done. I'm not taking this guy's story. I'm mad. I am so angry right now. It's too much. It's too much. Last week I was watching this other video ngwana skolo. Aliko go transporting. Bamutlapa left, right, and center. That is why Banababa committed suicide because of bullying. Sometimes Abafika Kontung, they don't say nothing, they keep quiet. Obanengwana, I isolate her. Kantengwana is going through a lot, Koskolong. The teacher, really, the principal are not doing nothing, but Habadi bullies it. That's nonsense.
As, to be honest, the saddest thing, especially when it comes to our parents, Asuge. Abantwana, they have now this thing of Uti, they can manipulate situations. I'll be right, but be surprised to be told Gutumdana is a bully, where I'm told. So if we are the principals as Kusa Umtana, that's why a co-parenting should be made a priority. It should be placed in Umtet. No manje umunyumzala ngaba toxic emntwaneni, then we is now you are instilling discipline. So into zibuhlungu ezinjalo man, ezibuhlungu lezinto lezi man, ukuthi khona umntwana ohlukumeza umunye umntwana endlini kanti wena uthi ukhulisa umuntu ohloniphayo.
Discipline starts at home. As a parent, your child must know ukuthi isikolo sakhe asikho kude. Your child must know ukuthi your discipline uzamphanisha. They must know that you don't take nonsense and you do not appreciate such things as fana nabo bullying. So you need to teach it at home and you need to be strict and stern at home and you need to engage the school. Mina, I have a child who can potentially become one of those. I'm a second born nyawaza njani. But I will call your teacher now. I will speak to your teacher now. You will be punished at school and home. I don't play.
Abazali, baba bantwana, be police. Baya bazi. Benzani ngabo, benzani ntoni ngabo, because baya graduate, baya lenti, baya hluphe la emalokishini, beqhalana ne-cables zelento, kuze electricity, bla bla bla. Qala apho, baya bazi. Nankomnye, the same mzali khona le, kwaba babhulishela umntana lo, because umamakhe usemthethweni or in. Now, there's no accountability. From Kubazali.
So the question of how are you dealing with your own bully actually reminded me of a situation at my niece and nephew's schools in Limpopo, where there is this bully at school and everyone is scared of him. He walks around with knives and stuff, and they stabbed the one other child. And yeah. So the mother cannot reprimand the bully because she's also so scared of the bully. This bully is bullying the mom at home as well.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.